Pajero! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello and welcome to the newest episode of FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
Today we're going to start by talking about the biggest thing in the world of fantasy, the Game Week 21 blanks. Chuck, how are you preparing?
Well, right now I'm kind of holding my breath because I only have one player on my bench that can actually come into a game if someone doesn't play, and that's Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And then the rest of my bench is taken up by Spurs and West Ham players. And then I found out today that I no longer have a goalkeeper because Elliot was my number two behind Hugo.
Yeah, I ran into that same issue. I have three hammers on my bench and Harry Kane. Did a double transfer yesterday, brought in Jesse Lingard and Firmino, shed some weight with Gray and hopped off Lukaku. Unfortunately, now I'm faced with the choice of either taking a blanket goalie or bringing someone else in. For everyone else out there in the similar situation, what do you think the best idea is to do? I mean, take the 4-point hit or start the blanket goalkeeper?
I mean, considering how easily a goalkeeper can be knocked down to immediately getting 2 or 3 points, I'm honestly just more comfortable rolling with a 0 than I am starting with a -4 that may only rise to being a -1. If my keeper gives up a goal.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that same approach. I got 2.2 in the bank now. I'm going to looking to use that to bring in an elite defender next week. And we'll get to it a little bit more, I guess, revert to it when we talk about the matches. But there's a couple matches where I guess you could look for a clean sheet. But then again, I don't think there's going to be any goalkeeper really transcendent from the pack with this week's slate. Someone that is transcendent, however, Jesse Lingard. What are your thoughts on him after his heroic performance?
I mean, he's, like, really grown on me over these past few weeks. But him coming back and single-handedly rescuing a point for United was a Greg Jennings-esque performance.
Dude, he's been – it's funny because I went into this season, like, I don't like Jesse Lingard at all. I dislike him. I think he's terrible at dancing. His celebrations are bad. And he's a squad rotation player that would start on a bottom half team. And he's completely turned it around, considering he's the only guy in United's side who's really clicking on all cylinders, but more or less looks like he knows what he's doing all the time when he's on the pitch. I mean, it's inevitable there's going to be some sort of a regression, but for now, you think he's worth riding until he kind of cools off? As I said earlier, I brought him in with Southampton, Everton, Stoke, and Burnley in Manchester United's last four matches. Would you recommend him as someone to bring in from, you know, in the 6-point range?
Yeah, considering his price range and the fact that sometimes you just want to ride the hot hand and United does have favorable fixtures, I don't see any reason not to own him.
Yeah, especially when you look at the current options for kind of what you would be getting for paying around him. I mean, he's the same price as Shaqiri, which you never know what you're going to get. And then to kind of drop down to someone who would be worth having in your side, you know, who's cheaper because he can pop up eventually with stuff, I guess Matt Ritchie, but Newcastle haven't been that great. So I think that Lingard is definitely someone to look at, someone who I brought in this week.
Yeah, the interesting thing would be to look at Lingard versus Richarlison. Because they're both, I want to say, is Richarlison still at 6.2, or has he?
So Richarlison right now, the only thing with him is Watford.
Oh, he's up to 6.5 now.
Yeah, what I was going to say is Watford have been so inconsistent lately. And I know Richarlison's really good. And I stayed away from him at this point in FPL because I wasn't really buying into the hype at first. I mean, he's definitely someone to look at, but I think compared him to Lingard, I would go Lingard just because Lingard's cheaper. And I think even though United have been pretty bad lately, I mean, they always score. They got tons of goals in them. So I guess I would land on the Lingard side of that debate. One thing that we'll land on the same side of, though, is a Liverpool attack. Who are you hot on this week? Rotation risks. I guess we might as well make it the weekly what do we do with Liverpool section.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Firmino's definitely going to keep his place due to the fact that there are more injury issues to Daniel Sturridge. Big shocker there.
Yeah.
Mane should return for Ox due to the fact that they're kind of on a 50-50 timeshare of that wing. And that would make Mane a viable transfer in just due to the fact that when he plays, he is very good. And considering that Leicester can't defend, again, this is another game where you want to start your Liverpool attackers. And personally, I'm captaining Firmino.
Yeah, I'm still undecided on who I'm going to captain this week. Just the other thing to think about would be, I mean, there's a chance, you never know with Klopp, there is a chance that both Salah and Coutinho both start. Salah came off in the 68th minute against Swansea. I believe Coutinho played the whole match.
Yeah,
I
know Coutinho didn't come off.
Yeah, Firmino.
Firmino also came off.
Also came off. So, I mean, I have Salah and Firmino to pick from to captain. It's going to be one of those two guys. I'm undecided on who it's going to be so far. I'm just going to guess kind of roll and wait as long as possible before I decide that. Either way, though, as Chuck said, you want to stay away from Leicester defenders. Harry Maguire is an intriguing option just because he poses a threat going forward in the air. But Liverpool's attack has just been too good to kind of roll the dice on him this week. Obviously, unless you don't have another option, or if you're someone like me who has multiple defenders from a club that's not playing this week.
Yeah, I'm only touching Harry Maguire in Taga leagues because his peripheral stats at least do enough to make him a useful center back even without clean sheets. But for FBL purposes, he's really not worth it for me.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring up. So I guess moving along those lines, is there anyone else in draft that you look at from Leicester? Potentially, you know, if you need a late spot start when their lineup comes out, I'm going to give you one or two names and then you just say like yay or nay. So we have owning 47% of leagues, Wilfred and Didi.
Oh, most definitely. Anytime you're playing an attacking side, it's useful to play a central defensive midfielder because just the fact that they'll get more interceptions, and with it being Liverpool, Ndidi's passing is that much more important that he could get an assist.
Yeah, going off that point, I know Ndidi's got two or three assists from times where he kind of just picked up, made an interception, and then played Mahrez through and ended up, you know, bearing rewards from that. And I guess the other guy would come to mind would be Damari Gray. He's owned in 36% of all Taga leagues.
That's another guy that I am most definitely starting if he starts, because basically this is another one of those games where it's start all attackers you possibly can and sit all defenders.
So another midfielder who I know you're going to want to start if you still own him across those leagues, his name is Tom, and he plays for Huddersfield Town, and he finally scored.
Yes, it took long enough. I've been touting for him to score a goal for about 5 weeks now, and he finally came through while he was on my bench last week.
Yeah, so Tom Ince finally got off the mark. Colin Quayner played a nice ball, a little cutback for him. And quote of the weekend I heard from the announcer when he scored was, if Ince doesn't score on this one, he's never, ever going to score again.
Yep, that's about right, because he's been a really weird situation this year just due to the fact that he's been getting into good positions. He's been taking fine shots, most of which have been in the box, but they just haven't gone in.
Yeah, from a statistical standpoint, I mean, Tom Ince has 15 shots on target, and according to the Playtaga stats, and that puts him above Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting, Wilfred Zaha, David Silva, Leroy Sané. So it kind of was inevitable he was going to score. It was just going to be, when's it going to come, how easy of a chance, and when, you know, luck was going to be on his side.
Yeah, now that he's finally gotten off the mark, like, I feel perfectly comfortable saying that he'll get 5 to 8 goals in the second half of the season.
Yeah, when I did my preseason stuff and midfielders to look at, kind of to exploit in the differential area, he was one of the guys that I'd pinpoint across pretty much every format, saying he's going to be low owned in draft leagues, he's going to be a good waiver pickup. And in FPL, he's most likely not going to have a huge selection just because people are going to be a little iffy based on his last stint in the Premier League. So I'm glad to see Tom's firing on all cylinders. So I guess before we move into match previews this week, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? Also, you came off a pretty good week last week.
Yep, I finally broke into the 100 club, which drove me into the top 100K.
Oh, congratulations. I got 72 points. I stayed green. I'm still not doing that hot, though. So who's the player, I guess, you're most excited to have in your side this weekend? And I know you already talked about your captain, but who are you going to be vice-captaining?
My vice-captain's probably going to be on Raheem Sterling. Just because I usually like to make my vice-captain someone who's usually going to be pretty consistent. Like, I don't want to captain Firmino and then put the vice-captain on Coutinho, who could potentially not start in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, that's the tricky thing about Liverpool. It's just you never know with being too invested. I'm going to captain Sterling this week. I did it last week. I was a little upset because I got my Kane vice-captain, was kind of hoping Sterling wouldn't play so I get that hat trick. But he came through, and then, as I said before, while I was thinking about it, I think I'm going to move towards Firmino for the vice-captain. So let's transition into the Game Week 21 rundown. The first one is a cracking match between the Hornets and the Swans.
We got a fun one here. I mean, for Watford, their midfield is finally back from suspension and injury for the most part. So it's making their attacking options a little more viable, like Andre Carrillo and Richarlison are definitely guys you want to look at. I wouldn't necessarily bring anyone outside of Richarlison in to an official FPL game, but in draft leagues, they have some depth in the midfield that you may be able to pick up off waivers.
Yeah, it's funny. I cannot say the same about Swansea City, though. Swansea City, I want to stay away from them as much as I can. In fact, outside of Fabianski and Kyle Naughton and Clay Target, they only have two players owned in more than 50% of leagues.
They have that much?
Yeah, literally just Fabianski and Naughton. So, yeah, Tammy Abraham at 45%, Alfie Mawson at 30%, Jordan Ayew at 25%. If someone had a gun to my head and say, who do I play from Swansea? Potentially Ayew. Just with Wilfred Bonny out, maybe they can slip one through against Watford. But, I mean, I'm not going to be putting money on that.
Well, I mean, if I had to play someone from Swansea, it would most definitely be Tom Carroll.
Yeah, Tom Carroll's another, let's see, he's a little bit further down. He's owned in 11% of leagues. But, yeah, he has kind of been the orchestrator of that side, which I'm using that term very loosely. He does have 2 assists in his last 3 matches. But he did not look good against Liverpool.
But Swansea finally has a manager, so that should help, right?
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to help, but you never know. So I guess to wrap that, I have Jan Mott, who I'm going to have to start in OFPL. Do you have any Hornets on your side?
Nope. I just have Richarlison, and I'm going to be starting him, but that's it.
Okay. So I guess before we talk too much about that match, we'll talk about another cracker, Huddersfield Town versus Burnley. Chuck, what are we doing here? Is there any value here? I like Burnley a lot. You know I like Burnley, but tell me who to start this week.
In OFPL, I honestly see zero value in this game. There's going to be a lot in Taga leagues just because you're going to have aerials going back and forth everywhere, which makes Deportra, everyone's center backs, all useful. But like midfielders, like I'm obviously starting Tom Ince because he's going to get shots off, and hopefully Nick Pope has another holler and he can sneak one in. But not much outside of that.
Yeah, I guess the only guy, and I mentioned him last time, and I feel like I do it every time, and I'm going to keep doing it till Tarkowski comes back, but Kevin Long is certainly an option at $4 million for OFPL. And, I mean, you're going to bank on him getting a clean sheet. He get assists last game against Manchester United, but that's, like, a huge option if you want to save some money. Then, again, looking at the injury report, with Tarkowski suspended, the only other guy who would be of value who's going to be missing, then again, Taylor towards draft leagues, Steven Ward could potentially miss out again. Chris Wood's ready to touch and go. And then on Huddersfield side, obviously, Kachunga's out for a while, but I wouldn't be touching any of those guys in OFPL, as Chuck said, more so for draft. What do you see? What do you think? I guess I would personally be taking the under in this game. Do you see anything? Whereas outside of 0-0, maybe a 1-1?
I mean, I think it's going to find a way to end in a 1-1 draw, but neither side is going to score more than one goal apiece.
Moving on to another match where I think Chuck and I have pretty different opinions on what's going to happen, Bournemouth and Everton.
Yep, I am actually using this game to bring Asmir Begovic back into my side in Taga leagues.
Ooh. Interesting. I am completely on the opposite side. I think this is going to be all Everton. I think it's going to be maybe 2-0, maybe even 3-0. Bournemouth are out of sorts right now. I don't know what's up with them. And I like Everton. I like the hot hand. And in hopes of, you know, helping out my teams across all leagues, I need something out of Calvert-Lewin and Jonjo Kenny.
Yeah, my big thing is that with the system that Everton's currently employing, which requires a lot of long balls because a Big Sam team is basically long ball United, it means that as long as Bournemouth can deal with those, Everton's not going to be very dangerous. And I do believe that Nathan Aki and Simon Francis are perfectly capable of dealing with those long balls and containing Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who, if I didn't have three guys on my bench right now that I can't play, I wouldn't actually be playing Calvert-Lewin this week.
Yeah, I mean, you do bring up a good point there. And I know Junior Stanislas could potentially return. But with Charlie Daniels, Andy Sermon, and Harry Archer all not 100%, and obviously Jermaine Defoe's out for a while, I think Bournemouth are a little bit banged up. Then again, Eddie Howe is Eddie Howe, so he's going to have the troops rallied, and it's going to be an entertaining match. I think it's going to be one of the ones to watch that people might not have expected a ton going into the weekend. A match that I probably will not be watching if I have my way, Newcastle versus Brighton, Chuck. This is not exactly the cracker of a match. From an FPL perspective, though, is this a match to look at?
This is a weird one because usually you don't want to tout Brighton away ever because they're pretty bad away from home, but their defense has been extremely solid lately, and Newcastle has Carl Darlow in net for this one, who has been really bad. So if Brighton's going to pick up an away point, it's in this one.
Yeah, I mean, from the Newcastle side, the one thing, I guess you're going to have Christian Atsu probably coming back into the starting 11 after coming off the bench at midweek. So they're going to get a little bit of an attacking boost from him. I like him in draft leagues just because he's has a low ownership and he's a good plug-and-play. if one of your regulars gets ruled out late. But with Rob Elliott out, I do not trust that Newcastle defense. And that's really all I have on them. I mean, I just think there's too many question marks there. And unless they go out in the window and really bring in essentially a goal scorer and they need one or two game changers across the team. I just don't really like them from a fantasy perspective as well as a being successful's perspective.
Yeah,
so,
Newcastle needs a lot.
Yeah, they need a hell of a lot. A match that should see a lot of goals, though. Moving on, Liverpool versus Leicester City.
Yeah, the fact that we've been talking about how many goals should be in this game means that it's going to be a nice 0-0 draw and prove us all wrong.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to have a nice Kasper Schmeichel and Simone Mignolet both getting 10 points. Leicester have goals in them. I don't think they're going to get blanked this week. I don't know where it's going to come from. I mean, you would think it's going to have something to do with Mahrez. Last week he got half my specific prediction right with getting a goal, but not an assist. We already spoke about Wilfred and Didi in the beginning. Yes, from Leicester's standpoint, stay away from the defenders and play Mars if you have them. What do you got on Liverpool? If we missed anything, which I don't think we did.
Yeah, I mean, I did bring in Andrew Robertson in FPL because while I don't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet whatsoever in this match, the last time Andrew Robertson played with Sadio Mane, he had acres of space and got a ton of crosses into the box, and I could see one of those easily turning into a nice assist for him.
Yeah, I like Robertson, especially in draft leagues. He's actually going to be one of the defenders on my column, which will be coming out this afternoon over at RotoWorld. So definitely give that a look. But I think from he's not that bad of a defender. And he's kind of struggled and had to wait his time to get into the starting 11. But with Alberto Moreno out for at least two more matches, I think he's a good short-term pickup. And I do like him against Leicester. Then again, he's going to need an assist kind of to balance out the fact that I don't think they're going to keep a clean sheet. Moving right along, Chelsea Stoke City.
This is not going to be a fun one for one team.
So Stoke City don't have a lot going for them right now, and on top of that, they have a lot of guys on the sidelines.
Yeah, because Stoke is currently missing essentially their entire back line due to Martin Zindy, Peters?
Yeah, I was going to read it off, but I had to take a pause because there's more people than I thought. So you got Martin Zindy. He's still 2 to 3 weeks away. Shawcross out till mid-January. Eric Peters has a chance, but Glenn Johnson's out, and Kurt Zouma is ineligible under the terms of his loan agreement.
Yeah, that's doesn't bode very well.
Yeah, like, one could say they have a depleted defense, considering you're going to probably have our boy Jeff Cameron – starting at center back, Kevin Vermeer, and then the options at outside back would be Josh Tymon, who they brought in from Hull City. I mean, he's a young, exciting prospect, but I don't like his prospects against Chelsea. And then the only other defender I believe they have is Edwards, who's another youngster.
Yeah, because you can't even play Diouf at actual right back because he's a striker.
Yeah, he's too much. He's also too much of a liability back there against Chelsea's attacking options, who I love this weekend. If you have them, throw them all out
there.
Yeah,
it's basically if Eden Hazard doesn't reward you for captaining him this week, he should be out of your side.
Yeah, Andreas Christensen could potentially be back after missing out with illness. And then outside of David Luiz, they don't have any injury concerns. So if you got your Chelsea guys, start them. Definitely keep an eye in draft leagues to who starts at the back right before game time because you guys like Christensen and Rudiger who could potentially be taking minutes from each other.
Yeah, and one interesting captain choice from Chelsea that I've seen floating around is Marcus Alonso because Stoke likely isn't going to score. And with how depleted their side is, Alonso could very easily bomb forward and get a goal as well.
So I do like that. However, the one thing that is a potential is that Alonso doesn't play the full 90, which is what's holding me back from – yeah, I was actually considering him bringing him on my side this week, but I was a little tentative that he might not get the full 90.
See, it's funny because in FPL, I'd honestly prefer if he doesn't play the full 90 because that means he's not going to give up the crap goal at the very end.
Mm-hmm, that's fair. Yeah, you run the risk of, like, well, a hypothetical, run the risk of him getting a yellow card, though.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I'm an Azpilicueta owner, and I did briefly think about captaining him, especially after his 12-point haul last week with a clean sheet and an assist, because he's another guy that, especially when Morata's in the lineup, will rack up his assists.
Yeah, he's definitely someone to consider. I like their back line across the formats this week. I don't really see an issue with who you bring in. It kind of just would be depending upon the Rudiger Christensen potential scenario with whatever Conte wants to do. A team that I hopped off of their premier player, we're going to be talking about in the next match, Manchester United versus Southampton.
Yep, it's weird because this game feels like it should have more FPL implications than it actually does.
Yeah, I ditched Lukaku. I just couldn't. I had to cut ties. I brought in Lingard, as I said earlier.
Yeah, I had to ditch Valencia because he's too expensive to have on your bench right now with his injury.
Yeah, from an injury perspective, I'll go through quickly. We got Smalling and Valencia are both in doubt. I would not be surprised, though, if neither of them plays. And then Martial and Darmian both return to training, so they could potentially factor in. I like the former before the latter seeing minutes, though. On Southampton's side, you have Bertrand and Cedric Suarez both out, and then Charlie Austin has been ruled out long-term. So I guess with that news in hand, doesn't really change a ton. I mean, Lingard from United is what I like the most. I also own Jones, so he's going to be starting this week.
Yeah, and also Juan Mata's been very useful lately.
Mm-hmm. I love Mata. This seems like another match where Mata could pop. The Mata and Lingard combination, I think, is going to play well. Southampton's obviously going to be keying in on Lukaku. Do you see anything from United outside of what I just mentioned? Did I miss anyone?
Not really, and I think that basically wraps up the match because with the lack of confidence around Southampton right now, I don't see them really getting anything in this match.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy I kind of like outside of Austin, and obviously he's out, so I'm not going to be using him. I mean, I guess you could think about if you play in a draft league using Lamina, just because he probably should have a ton of defensive actions, and we're going to touch on him a little bit later, not to run over when we get into the questions. Segueing to Crystal Palace, Manchester City, this going to be another beatdown for City, or do you think Crystal Palace is going to show any life?
Depends on if Johan Kabay actually plays or not, because behind Wilfred Zaha, I feel like he's the second most important player to Crystal Palace, and without him, I don't think they have a shot at scoring a goal, whereas with him, I think they could get one or two.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this a bunch, and I'm just going to touch on it again. Loftus-Cheek's probably someone who's going to stay in my OFPL side for the entire season, because he's just so cheap right now. And he's going to be in my lineup based upon the rest of what's been happening. But as you said, Kabay is the architect of that attack. And while I don't think they're going to win, I do think they could potentially spoil a clean sheet for City. As for City's perspectives, who do you think is going to get the start? You think rotation risk-wise, who would be the best investment?
I guess right now it seems like Gabriel Jesus is just not gonna actually play anymore in the
Yeah,
league.
I mean he got lucky with how Newcastle were setting up so deep, and then he got to come in off the bench for Kompany when he got hurt. But I think that was more a product of how the game was going at
Yeah,
the time.
outside, because outside of that injury, there's no way he actually plays. And Aguero is looking to be as nailed on as they come.
Yeah, Pep, it seems like Pep really took notice of Aguero saying that play me or let me leave. The other guy I would think is David Silva. There's no guarantee whether or not he's going to start, just with the ongoing situation with him. And then John Stones, he's not ready yet, but he should be fit soon. I think maybe he'll get a start next week. You think bet the over in this game?
What's the current line on it?
At least 3.5.
Yeah, I'd take the over. I could see 4 or 5.
Yeah, as much as I dislike Manchester City, I do love watching them play just because they're so goddamn good going forward. And surprisingly, they've been kind of organized at the back, which I didn't expect. And they're pretty much set to break every single record possible.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of their organization at the back is a lot like Liverpool's. Just the fact that they control so many games in possession that it's like if you don't take your one chance to break on them, which Otamendi single-handedly stops, then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I mean they against Newcastle, they got it was kind of balanced it out with the fact that Kyle Walker slipped to create that chance for Aarons to chip, and then Otamendi hustled back and cleared it off the line. So I mean that kind of was like a chance that was kind of a fluke anyway. So I didn't really think too much of it. But yeah, I definitely like the over in this game. Moving on to the last game of the week, we're going to be talking about West Brom versus Arsenal.
This is a weird one.
Yeah, I don't really like the perspective just because Arsenal coming off giving up 2 goals to Crystal Palace. I mean, obviously Crystal Palace poses a better threat going forward than West Brom does. I guess from fantasy, everybody who starts in the Arsenal attack, you're going to want to play because they do pack goals on their side. Ramsey is going to be out. So that means Wilshire's probably going to get another start. Giroud's out for a while. So I guess you could think about bringing in Ramsey. I don't really know how I feel about the defense, though. I mean, Mustafi scored an excellent goal in that game, but outside of him, I don't really like Bellerin. So I mean, it's really Ozil, Sanchez, Lacazette, and then I guess from a differential side, Wilshire.
Yeah, and on the West Brom side, the with Rondon out, the only slightly interesting option has been Chris Brunt.
Yeah, I mean he's great in draft in any league that awards the peripheral metrics just because the amount of crosses he whips in. And then I guess how Robson Kanu would probably come in for Rondon. Do you like him as a potential punt third striker in draft leagues?
No, because he'll score and get a red card.
That's fair. And I guess Matty Phillips is back in the picture with
Which is very
Chadli.
good.
Yeah, and Chadli's out again as usual. So, I mean, I guess Phillips is someone to consider, but let me check on his ownership. I don't know if he, well, 47%, so I guess he's available in some leagues. But I do like Brunt better at 39%. I guess anything else in this match, or have we even played it up too much?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay, so we're going to move on to two questions before we close up shop from Shatish on Twitter. Would you consider holding Zappacosta in a 12-team league, and what are you doing with Mario Lemina?
So I think Zappacosta's essentially useless now that Victor Moses is back, because even though Moses puts in a heavy shift each time he plays, him his pedigree as a winger means he's used to doing that kind of running. So you don't really need to worry about rotating him in and out of your side.
Yeah, I was a little bit hesitant at first, thinking like, okay, you're going to want both of those guys just because Moses was coming off of missing, you know, four matches. But then again, now that he's back to form and he had that time off, I think he could potentially start both these games, and then Zavacosta just becomes kind of an afterthought where he only sees time when Moses is unavailable through injury or suspension. Moses is clearly the better attacking option going forward. Zavacosta is not a bad player, but I don't think he's going to get another chance unless Moses affords it to him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then on the second part with Lamina, I'm torn because I've been hurt a few too many times by Southampton as a whole. I like Lamina, and I like the fact that due to him completing dribbles, you don't necessarily need him to score or assist goals to be useful, but I'm heavily jaded on Southampton as a whole.
Yeah, so one of the things that Chuck and I agree on most from our FPL philosophy in draft is the value of midfielders who aren't goal dependent. And Lamina, with all his defensive actions and peripheral metric, you know, accumulation through aerials, one successful take-ons, he has a ton of value in matches where Southampton are going to be pinned back, which is why I like him this week. But I think he's someone that you don't really need to own, because chances are the majority in your people in your league are going to go for goal-scoring midfielders. So at 29%, he's someone that you could honestly drop and then just use him as a plug-and-play whenever they have a favorable matchup. Although lately there's been no such thing as a favorable matchup for Southampton.
Yeah, I'd have to wait until they're done with their buzzsaw fixtures until I even think about using them.
Yeah, so Lamina is owned at 29% of leagues. So we're going to do a little bit of Lamina or. So Lamina or Stephen DeFore this week.
Oh, I think that I'd actually have to take Lamina there, just because DeFore is either, more often than not, if he doesn't assist anything, DeFore is either going to get you 6 points or nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas Lamina at least has a shot at 10.
Yeah, Lamina, I was going to say, if you look at DeFore lately, I mean, he scored that beautiful free kick against United. But outside of that, his ceiling lately has been 8.5 max. And then with Lamina, on the other hand, he teeters back and forth where he's usually good for 10 to 12 versus on the downside, he has a lower floor. But I like Lamina this week. DeFore obviously has a better matchup. And then we'll do one more before we move on to our specific predictions. Going into someone who's owned in a little bit less amount of leagues, let's see, Lamina or Etienne Capoue if he gets a start.
Oh, I'm going Etienne Capoue, totally. Swansea's going to sit back, and while Capoue won't get your natural central defensive midfielder numbers of assists and tackles, this is set up perfectly for an outside-the-box banger from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, with Watford, I know that they have their issues, but Capoue, I mean, I just feel like he's due if he gets to start to actually do something.
Yeah, and also, like, while Watford has their issues, scoring usually isn't one of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's someone to consider, but you're going to have to wait till he's in the starting 11. Do you have any other, you know, differential punts for FPL or for draft leagues that you had kind of come across this week?
I mean, my biggest ones are Trent Alexander-Arnold, because, again, while Liverpool's not going to keep a clean sheet, Trent Alexander-Arnold has a better shot on him than most wingers.
Mm-hmm. Scored that real nice goal. at midweek.
I'm gonna keep banging the drum for Tom Enns. If he gets the start, the one other player on Stoke worth watching in draft leagues is Ramadan Sobhi.
Yeah, he's been really good lately. Came off the bench and scored again back-to-back matches.
And then a good old Kieran Gibbs revenge game against Arsenal.
Yeah, the guy I mentioned earlier, Christian Atsu, if he's in the lineup, I like him for draft leagues. The other guy who I was looking at, and I go in depth more on my column today, which will be coming out this afternoon, Colin Quainer on Huddersfield Town. With Elias Kachunga out, Quainer's pretty much going to be put in that creative role from the wing. He's big, he's pretty powerful, and he actually has got a decent dribble on him. Over the last couple of matches, he's been doing pretty well. I think he's created like 10 chances in 4 starts. So he's someone to look at home where Huddersfield Town have been good, even though Burnley do have a pretty rigid defense. So moving on to the final section of today's episode, our specific predictions for game week 21. Chuck, you want to go first?
I'm going to start it easy. Tom Enns scores in back-to-back games.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to go with Everton are going to beat Bournemouth. Lock it in. Last time I looked, there was a pick'em, so that's definitely one I would be looking to do, even though they're the away side. And then to follow that up, I'm going to go with Christian Atsu goal if he gets a start against Brighton.
And let's see. I say Chelsea are going to hang a 5 spot on Stoke.
Ooh, I like that. And then I guess from the, you know, if I was looking to do a parlay or something like that, I definitely like overs in Leicester City, Liverpool, Chelsea match, Swansea City, Watford, and then definitely the under in that Brighton, Newcastle game. So with that said, that's the preview of game week 21. We will be back hopefully to preview game week 22, depending upon how hungover Chuck and I are after the new year. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
Have a happy new year and may your arrows be green.